You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and Engineer Jim back in beautiful and honestly kind of chilly Henderson, Nevada today. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by the good people at Coors Light. And guys, I'm so happy because today we talk special teams. Insert those the Rick Ross horns, Jimbo. Thank you. Oh, my favorite. We talked offense 2 weeks ago. We talked defense last week. And today we talk the guys who never get enough credit, the specialists. And it warms my heart. The only thing that would have warmed my heart to an even warmer level, I should say, is if the great Kyle Cannon, Booby Cartwright Martin was able to join us today. But alas, once again, he is on assignment. And these assignments that he has, they keep creeping up, and he's very vague about what these assignments are, but he's always very busy. And so I will respect the man's process. I'll respect that he's got places to be, people to see, things to accomplish. So you're stuck with me once again, getting you from beginning to end as we talk about all things special teams and my close personal friend, assistant head coach / special teams coordinator, Rich Bisaccia. So we're going to stick to the format, guys, and we're just going to begin by looking at the upcoming free agents on the special teams unit. So this one is going to be slightly different because headed into 2021, yes, I know we're already in 2021, but the league year 2021, the Raiders don't actually have any of their specialists that are going to be unrestricted free agents. That said, they do have a pair of players, and we'll get to them in a second, that are restricted free agents. So, what is the difference? Because we get asked this every year, and every year, in the spirit of full transparency, I have to go look it up, I have to talk to our PR staff, and guys, just clarify me once again what the difference between unrestricted and restricted is. So here it is. Unrestricted free agents essentially are free to negotiate, they are free to sign anywhere. They can do whatever they want. They have no restrictions. How about that? But restricted free agents can agree to a new deal with another team, but their original club has a chance to match that offer. So while they can still go out, they can negotiate, they can, you know, kind of see, they can test the open waters a little bit. At the end of the day, if their original club, in this case, the Las Vegas Raiders, want to bring them back, they have a chance to match that offer. So the restricted free agents that are upcoming for the Raiders this year, in a couple months, I should say, we got two of them, Daniel Carlson and Trent Sieg, your kicker and your long snapper, respectively. And so we've played this game the past couple weeks, right? You get one guy to bring back. Who are you bringing back, Eddie? Oh, I'm going to bring back insert player here. And usually I stick to one, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to bring this guy back as well, but if you're going to put a gun in my head, no. This week, you ask me, who are we bringing back? And the simple answer is, I hope you bring both of them back because continuity is so key, especially on special teams, especially on teams. You need that chemistry, that cohesion, those reps. I mean, you look at it this year, and that trio of Carlson, Sieg, and Cole, the law firm, oh my gosh, you're not going to find very many special teams batteries better than that in the NFL. So to me, that is why I say bring both of them back. And, you know, I really, in my heart of hearts, I hope that that's the case. We'll have to see what happens over the next couple months. But bring them both back, guys. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And especially when you think about the kicking situation prior to Carlson arriving here. And I know it's been, two and a half years since Daniel got here. But that year, and Daniel joined us, I want to say it was week 10, some part on the middle to the latter half of the season, little latter part of the season, I should say. But prior to that, the Raiders had gone through so many kickers. I think if memory serves, Daniel was the fourth or fifth kicker that year. And there are a lot of reasons for that, right? You know, Sebastian Janikowski had left, Giorgio Tavecchio had come in, but then Eddie Pinheiro had been signed. He couldn't get held. You know, there were a lot of things that were going into it. But at the end of the day, it felt like the Raiders were cycling through kickers at an unreal rate until they landed on Mr. Carlson, who just righted that ship in such a key way. And he's been so good. I mean, his 2020 was spectacular. It was really, really good. So that's why I say bring them both back. You got a good thing going. These guys are young. They're excited to be Raiders for a really long time. There's no reason either of these guys should not be back in silver and black in 2021. So when we look at the special teams unit in totality, and we'll bring in the great AJ Cole into this conversation. Well, not physically into this conversation, as much as I would love to talk to AJ, but we'll bring him into the proverbial conversation, if you will. When you look at the special teams unit in totality, do we say they overperformed, underperformed, or they met expectations? And we've asked the same question the past couple weeks about the offense and the defense. And I look at the special teams unit, and I think it is really hard to make a case to say that this team did not overperform, that they did not exceed expectations, because they were really, really good. And yes, there were certainly areas that needed to get better, areas that will get better. But when you look at the kicking aspect of the Raiders special teams in 2020, especially when you look at the punters and the kicker, they overperformed. And when we talked to Kyle, oh gosh, when was it? In our season preview, one of our season preview pods. So let's call it late June, early July, somewhere around there. Kyle had the scalding take. He had a spicy boy take and said, hey, Carlson's going perfect this year. He is not going to miss a kick. And I laughed at him. I said, dude, as much as I love Carlson, Carlson's my guy. That might be a little too spicy for me, KMM. But I mean, give him credit, because he wasn't that far off. Carlson's 2020, 33 of 35 on field goals, 45 of 47 on PATs, and a perfect 4 for 4 from 50 yards plus. And we all know that what separates the good kickers from the really good kickers and the elite kickers is that conversion rate from 50 plus, especially in today's NFL, where you have to be able to consistently make from deep, when you have to consistently put points on the board for your team. That's exactly what Carlson did. In fact, he did it to a literal historic tune as he became the franchise's single-season points leader, taking over the mantle from the great Sebastian Janikowski. Carlson was incredible. There is really not much you could have asked from Daniel, more from Daniel, in 2020. Yes, he had the two missed PATs. Yes, he had the two missed field goals. But looking at the percentages, looking at where he ranks in the NFL, the man was unreal. He was unreal, and I think it's important to bring up that 2019 for Daniel Carlson, and we all remember this, was a up-and-down roller coaster of a year. He came on the scene when he touched down in Oakland in 2018, and he was a beast that first, and it wasn't a full year, like I said, but call it that first stretch of time that he was a Raider. He missed one kick that first year once he arrived in Oakland. And it was like, if memory serves, it was an obscenely deep, like 54, 55, something like that. But he was perfect. He ended the season on an incredible run. You get to 2019, and I don't know what happened in 2019. I really don't. It was up. It was down. It wasn't as consistent and mellow as we've all would have liked. And so 2020 was a big year for Daniel. It was a really big year for him. And as I said, he delivered in a big, big way. Should have been a Pro Bowler. I'm going to take that one with me till I die. Carlson should have been a Pro Bowler this year. No shots at the guys that got in. But statistically speaking, look at the numbers. The cash money man should have been a Pro Bowler. Moving over to his battery mate, AJ Cole. And AJ had a great year too. Now, AJ's year was very interesting to me for a lot of reasons. One, he didn't punt a whole heck of a lot. I'm looking at the numbers right now. AJ punted 67 times in 2019. He punted 44 times last year, but my God, he made the most of each punt. He certainly did. It really felt like AJ's directional punting improved in 2020. It felt like he was more confident, more comfortable back there than he was as a rookie, which makes sense. He was unquestionably the guy. But it felt like it still feels like, he is a player that is getting better. Carlson is getting better. Trent Sieg, I know the long snapper doesn't get a ton of love, but is a key portion of that battery. And if you're Rich Bisaccia, you got to look at the big three, your big three of Carlson, Cole, and Sieg, and say, hey, I feel really good about where I'm sitting. All three of these dudes, as I said, still really, really young in the NFL. All three of these guys still in the ascent. I think it's fair to say none of these guys have peaked just yet. So run it back, boys. Run it back. And like I said, it's so hard sometimes in the NFL because you look at the specialists across the league and it's not a glamour position, right? I mean, you kind of have your like punting all-stars. You get your Johnny Heckers and you know, Pat McAfee now who's doing his thing in the media. But by and large, you probably don't know the name of the most punters. And that's fine. I feel like most punters are probably fine with that. But the only time you really hear from them is when something bad happens. They're kind of like offensive linemen in that way, right? Where you probably don't know, unless you're a fan of the team. Like, I couldn't tell you who the backup center on the Los Angeles Rams. I couldn't tell you who that guy is. No idea. Because the only time you hear from these guys are when they mess up. But there is something to be said for this Raiders group that has been as consistent can be. That is so rare to find in the NFL, and I am very, very excited about the future for them. And I'm excited, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that all three of those guys end up in silver and black, not only for 2021, but for the long term as well. So shifting sides of special teams, because look, I love talking about kicking and punting. I love all that. But looking at the other side of it too, we look at the kick return situation. And I think in 2020, we learned one thing in regards to the kicking or return situation. Hunter Renfrow became a viable punt returner this year. And he talked at the end of the year, where he said, look, you know, I didn't do this a ton prior to this year. He goes, I kind of dabbled. I kind of tested my look at it here and then, you know, in practice, because I had never really done it routinely until this year. And man, watching that guy return punts is a lot of fun. I tweeted out like, gosh, maybe once a week every time he returned a punt. This guy returns punts with no fear. Look, I am taller than Hunter Renfrow, and I am bigger than Hunter Renfrow, and there is no way you could pay me enough to go drop back, return punts, and then run into the teeth of a incoming defense, essentially trying to take your head off. And this guy did it, and he did it really, really well throughout the entire year. Now, my question headed into 2021, though, is I wonder if at some point in this offseason, during the draft, whenever it is, if Coach Gruden and the staff think of bringing someone in to maybe take some of those reps from Hunter. Not because he hasn't done an exceptional job, because I think Hunter has, by and large, done a really, really nice job in that role. But because we saw this year how important he is to the offense. He is such a valuable piece for Derek Carr in this offense that I worry a little bit that he's one bad hit away from being taken out of that. So, it's not something I'm losing sleep over at night, but I do really wonder if headed into 2021, if the team adds a player, two players, whoever it is, bring someone in to see, hey, can they do this? Can they fill this job like Hunter did? Because if they can, I would love to see Hunter do that a little bit less. I'm not saying take him off of it completely. I'm not advocating that at all. I'm just saying he has become such an important piece to the puzzle on offense. I just want him to be as healthy and, you know, at 100% for as long as humanly possible. And I know that no one is really 100% once you get to week 10, week 11, week 12, whatever it is. I get that. I totally get that. But I also want him to be as good for as long as humanly possible. Going to the kick return aspect of it, because we were talking about punts there, Jalen Richard once again leads the Raiders with 10 kick returns. Henry Ruggs had 7. And it felt like if you're going to really nitpick the special teams unit in 2020, if you're really going to get into the nitty-gritty of what can be better, how can we improve, you feel like that conversation has got to start with the kick return position. And I think Jalen also, by and large, has done a really, really nice job. But the kick returning role, if you will, has become such, I don't want to say a niche, but it has become such a unique set of skills. You look at guys, I mean, the first person that comes to mind in the 2020 version of the NFL as a complete game changer back there is Cordero Patterson. And we saw Cordero live and in person during his career as a Raider. And he is an electric, explosive, fast return man. And so I wonder as well, like, you know, I obviously feel comfortable with Jalen back there. I feel comfortable with Henry Ruggs back there. But I wonder, do you bring someone else in to maybe see, hey, what do they have? Because the same thing that I said about Hunter goes for Jalen as well. where Jalen, and we heard from Mike Mayock and we heard from John Gruden all through the offseason last year, where they said, look, Jalen Richard is one of the most, if not the best, third down running back in the NFL. And so he is a guy also, especially when you think about in today's NFL, how often you're throwing the ball. And you need someone that can get in there and block. And not only block, but be an effective blocker. Give your quarterback time to work. You need Jalen Richards. You need guys like him on the roster. And that is a super important job. So I wonder, like I said, same kind of principle goes with Hunter, where it's, do we bring someone in to maybe rest his legs a little bit? Is that in the thought process over the next couple months? I don't know. Is it something I'd like to see explored a little bit? Absolutely. And I'm not advocating for Jalen to lose this job. Like I said, he's been super effective. But you're looking for a spark. You're looking for two things. You're looking for that spark and to keep Jalen and Henry healthy. And I'm excited to see what happens in the draft. I'm excited to see what happens in free agency. Because the thing about bringing in explosive return men is that they are not only explosive return men. Fast is fast is fast. Look at Henry Ruggs. So it'll be an interesting kind of, not a big storyline. It's not going to be big, guys. Calm down. But it'll be an interesting little subplot to follow along over these next couple months. And especially when we get to training camp in late July or whenever that is this year, it'll be something interesting to see. How does that position kind of shake out? Who wins that job? Something to keep an eye on. And when I look at the biggest questions for this group, for Coach Bisaccia's group, from top to bottom, I mean, really, there's only two that come to mind. One, will Segan Carlson be back? And like I said, I mean, conventional wisdom would suggest, and look, I've told you guys time and time again, I'm not a football guy. I'm not an X's and O's guy. But conventional wisdom would suggest that they are back. Carlson literally put together a historic campaign as a Raider last year. He's coming off one of the most efficient seasons a Raider has had, a kicker for the Raiders has had. Bring him back. I would love to see both of these guys back, but that's going to be the big question. And hopefully it's one of those things we get taken care of sooner than later. We can kind of cross the T's, dot our I's, all that stuff. Boom, we move on. We're looking ahead to 2021. And just for the sake of, you know, really diving into the roster, the Raiders have another kicker on the roster right now, Dominic Eberle. Spent a lot of the year on the practice squad. Obviously, he didn't appear in a game for the Raiders last year. They recently signed long snapper Liam McCullough as well. And I look at those signings, and they, to me, as I said, not a football guy. They look like depth signings. That's a hard one to say, depth signings. Yeah, I know Eberle was with us for a lot of the season. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that given the COVID protocols a year ago, right, I mean, I guess I should say COVID protocols now still, but you guys know what I mean. But given all that, you need to have a kicker waiting in the wings. You could not be in a situation where you just don't have a kicker come game day because, God forbid, something happened and Carlson was a close contact or something. All right, now he's out 5 days. Teams don't carry multiple kickers on the 53. So having a guy like Dominic on the practice squad made perfect sense. Will he get a chance to compete for that job in 2021? Time will tell. I don't think he will, but you never know. And my other question when I look at the special teams group, will Jalen and Renfro stay as the primary guys? And I know I just talked about this, so we'll move on pretty quickly. But will they be the primary guys coming into 2021? Or will someone else come in the mix? A couple guys come in the mix? And I wonder, does Henry Ruggs get more of a chance back there? I know that if you're a fan of this team, there are often times this year where you're kind of scratching your head like, well, where's Henry Ruggs? I know he's out there. I see him. I see him running around. Where's he at? And if you have a player like Henry, an explosive player like Henry, you got to find ways to get him the ball, right? Well, maybe throw him back and have him return a few more kicks. Have that number go from 7 to 10 to 12, somewhere in that range. Maybe him and Jalen have a platoon type situation. And it's hard to even forecast this stuff out, guys, right? Because, you know, you're one sprained ankle away. You're one, running back X went down. Now Josh is the guy, so we got to keep Josh rest. There's so many different variables that go into this, so it is kind of hard to forecast it. But I do wonder, does Ruggs get more of a chance in 2021? I'd kind of like to see it. I think it'd be exciting to see him back there. He's one of those guys who's incredibly electric when he has the ball in his hands, so the more we can get the ball in his hands, the better. That's just logic. That's just science. As my buddies in the group chat say, that's simply a fact. No lies there. Simply a fact. So, that is our quick look at the state of the special teams unit. And yes, 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 things will change in between now and April, and they'll change in between April and July. And we're going to spend so much more time talking about every position on this team. How do we get better? Who's in? Who's out? And all that stuff. But for now, that's where we're at. And it's a good place to be, as I said. If you're a fan of this team, you got to feel good about the state of the special teams unit. There are things that it's fair to be a little concerned about. There are things that it's fair to be like, oh boy, fingers crossed on this headed into 2021. Special teams aren't it. We're good with the specialists. So no need to sweat there. So before we get out of here, we look at the game picks for Championship Sunday coming up in a few days. We crack a few ice-cold Coors Lights and we hit the dusty trail. Let's just hear a quick message from our friends at Allegiant.
Touchdown. Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
And a big thank you to our friends at Allegiant. And we are back with our game picks. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, it's crazy to even say that we're in champion or we're approaching Championship Sunday because time is like January is one of those weird months, right? Where it's only 31 days or however long it is, but it feels like it's like 9 years. So I feel like our season ended like 75 days ago. It's been like 3 weeks. But time, you throw in the Rona too, and time doesn't exist. But to the games! First up on Sunday, 12:05 kickoff for all of those of you who are going to lock in. Bucks-Packers. Oh, who do you got, Eddie? Who do you got? Who do you got? Well, after much contemplation, much thought, much prayer, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are going to complete the revolution. And they're going to take down Touchdown Tom. And listen, I don't like Tom Brady, but I respect them, if that makes sense. Like, obviously, Tom Brady's history with this organization, the Tuck Rule, and all that, is well documented. So I can't be like, I'm a Brady guy. But I respect him. He's the GOAT. He's the literal GOAT. But I think A-Rodge is going to rise up today, or not today, in a few days. He's going to rise up in the chilly conditions at Lambeau Field, and he's going to pull the pack to the Super Bowl. My official pick, Packers over Bucks. And moving over to our AFC Championship game, and this is about as easy comes, guys, right? Bills, Chiefs, come on. Bills. Bills by 100. Bills by 200. Bills by 250. Chiefs are good. I mean, I can't even like be that much of a hater. Like, the Chiefs are a good football team. But I've seen enough of this story. Let's wrap it up. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, former Raider Tywan Jones. Let's do it. Come on. Can we do this, fellas? Can we complete the job here? Bills by 100. Oh, feels good to say that. It'll feel even better if Sunday afternoon they handle business and Andy Reid and the Pat Daddy have to go home without a Super Bowl because as much as, like I said, as much as I respect Andy Reid, he kind of falls in the same position as Tom. I can't root for these guys. I can't pull for him. And the good thing is, my friends, is that regardless of what happens on Sunday, we will not be in the same position we were in a year ago where we had 2 weeks of Niners-Chiefs pregame talk, pregame chatter. Oh, it was miserable. Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. Give me Packers Bills. Give me those storylines, NFL Network. That's what I want. That's what the people want. That's what we need. So, on that note, let's get out of here. But before we do, it's time to crack an ice-cold Coors Light. And unfortunately, because KMM is once again on assignment, there will be just a singular brewski crack today. And I'm going to crack it. I'm going to be a proud husband for once. Well, I'm always a proud husband, but I'll vocalize my pride, if you will. The boss went back to, well, she didn't go back, she's going to graduate school. And I've talked about this a little bit before, but she started school this week, virtual school, like everyone else that's in our education system right now. And I'm really proud of her. This has been something that she's talked about for a long, long time. She's wanted to find a way to go back, get her master's degree, and the stars finally aligned. She just looked up one day and said, hey, I'm doing it. How are we going to figure it out? And so now she's going to UNLV. She's going to be getting her master's. She's really excited. I'm really excited. I'm really proud. I'm fired up. She's going to be in a program for about 2 years, I think. It depends on, obviously, the state of the world and things of that nature. But she started her program this week. And so I cracked this cold one to her and all the people who are in school right now. All the people just saying, you know what? This is my moment. I'm going to go follow my passion. I'm going to do it. I'm taking the bull by the horns, and I'm going to pursue my dream. So a big shout out to all those people. And just like that, we're out of here. So for Eddie Pascal, Engineer Jim, the great KMM, our friend Alexandra behind the glass, and everyone at Silver and Black Productions who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. Oh, and before I forget, because I have it highlighted on my little outline, special version of the show next week. Really, really cool, badass version of the show. We are doing a Tom Flores Hall of Fame Spectacular. It'll come out the same time as the usual show comes out, but we have a great panel of guests already lined up. They're going to talk about Coach Flores, what he's meant to the game, and why he should be enshrined in Canton. Please, please, please do not miss that. It is going to be really, really, and it's going to be great. It's going to be really good. I'm fired up. Everyone on our side, on our team here, is really excited. We talked to Coach earlier today. He's excited. So if Coach is excited, I feel good. And as I said, it's going to be a long time coming. And we have some great conversations with people who know a lot more football than me and give really impassioned, eloquent pitches for why Coach should be in the Hall of Fame. So as I said, do not miss that. That'll be coming out next Thursday at our usual time. But in the meantime, Raider Nation, stay safe, stay healthy, and we will catch you next week for our usual episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.